Happy Tuesday, everyone. I hope everyone is enjoying their summer. I'm hoping most of you, if not all of you, are on summer break and looking forward to some rest and rejuvenation. Charlie, with that, are you feeling restful and rejuvenated?
I am. I love when this weather and sunshine comes out. At least it is where we are in Northern Kentucky. And our Northern folks are still in school. They're out end of June, at least our Canadian friends and New York.
Well, and some of our Eastern, our Eastern friends also have let us know they're still in session.
Yeah, so almost there.
I know it's almost there. So you can do it. And of course, if you need anything from Charlie and I to help support you at the end of the school year, please let us know. Charlie, you're supporting some folks here in July in Nashville. Will you share a little bit about that event and what you're speaking on?
Yes, it's with the Innovative School Summit through AccuTrain. I absolutely love working for them. They are truly fantastic. I love it. Everywhere they go, you guys need to try to sign up. And this is just for school counselors. So think about it. School counselors from all over, you're all welcome to come. And I get to do a 3-hour session with them as a pre-conference one. And I love it. I cannot wait. We're diving into all the skills, the tenets, language and behavior stuff, my skills that we've been doing, the SOS for school mental health. But I'm not giving you stuff that you already know because you guys are pretty tough. You guys are tough cookies in the mental health world. It's going to be really good stuff catering to you for school counselors. Yeah, that's July 14th through the 17th. I'm teaching that session. And then at the end of the week, I'll be there for another session too. Excited.
Perfect. I'll make sure the link is in the show notes for folks so that way they can click on it. And if they are an area and want to check that out. I know, Charlie, that I don't know if we're in the majority or minority in this, but me and you love the 3-hour sessions.
Yes. Oh my gosh. There's just so much more we can do.
Yeah. I love it. So I'm excited for this upcoming fall, I guess, because me and you are doing several of these 3-hour sessions for school districts and conferences. So yeah, we're going to be a lot of educators, wonderful folks. So like I said, I'll have the link in there for you. I just want to say thank you for those who are using our bit.ly. I'm going to put that on the screen real quick for those who are watching on YouTube. But yeah, our bit.ly/LOB questions continue to provide questions to us so we can tackle those in episodes coming up. We've got one here, Charlie, that I'm going to put on the screen for us. So this one is, what subtle signs indicate that a child or adult is struggling emotionally or behaviorally? So what comes to mind?
Definitely physical complaints without some kind of medical cause. So they'll say that their stomach hurts, they're nauseated, I feel like I'm going to throw up. Sometimes you can see them and they look pale. They might have headaches. They might look like they're tired, like they're fatigued even, and they're not ill though. And so these are just signs that are physiological. It's not like our kiddos are trying to manipulate. We need to get that M word out of our vocabulary with kids because it's a somatic response. It's a symptom that reflects some underlying cause, usually some anxiety, maybe depression. But even if it's not a diagnosis, there's something going on in their nervous system that is showing that sign outwardly that there's some kind of distress or overwhelm.
No, I love that you said that. Because I do think we do default to that, unfortunately. And our body is telling us something. I try to teach students that all the time as far as like, I mean, if you feel this way, don't ignore it. And as educators, sometimes we have to be like triage or like, the emergency crew that comes in and to diagnose what's going on. And I know you said like, don't diagnose, but like, as far as, okay, you have a stomach ache, you have, maybe you look pale, what is that really telling us? What is your body trying to communicate to you? And I think that's something that we need to teach our kids. I know even my own children at home, all 6 of them, I try to teach them that also, as far as anxiety occurs or stress occurs, your body's feeling this way. What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's a virus, but sometimes it's just the way that you're feeling based on the situation that you're in.
Absolutely. And something we need to remember, which I got this from Erica Tan. I did some DBT training, and it has to do with a modality for therapy. It's great for people who have just like some personality, some disorders, right? But really, it's really big risky behaviors in a lot of emotional sensitivity. That's how they present. People say, well, they're just manipulating me. So here's what she said that I appreciated. It brought things into perspective for me. She said, let's stop using the word manipulation. If you were being manipulated, you wouldn't even know it because people aren't that skillful to know how to do it, especially if they have that diagnosis, that borderline personality disorder specifically. So it's something to keep in perspective. We wouldn't even know we were being manipulated.
Well, and it goes along with some of the things that we talked about. I mean, we had a whole episode pretty much on manipulation, but also like looking at people's baselines, you know, like, are they more irritable or aggressive than they typically are? I mean, obviously that's a huge sign. I mean, is there extreme mood swings that are occurring, or, you know, sadness, worrying? I mean, there's a lot of things that we can hone in on that we'll see, like you were talking about, in, as far as like facial features or as far as like how they're interacting with folks. And if that's different than what we typically see, I mean, that is an indicator that we need to look at, you know, something that's beyond just the behavioral change that we're seeing in the moment.
Yeah. And I always say, we've said this before too, but it's important we remember to just think of patterns. So what is their baseline? What are they typically doing? Are they usually talkative? And maybe they're not talkative now. Maybe they're giving one word responses and usually they're more chatty. Sometimes they avoid certain topics. Sometimes they're avoiding certain conversations. So like usually they'll talk about their family or their big sister, and then you're referring back to their big sister and they change a subject, or their face changes to indicate like sadness, or like they don't want to be there, discomfort, or a parent or caregiver, something. So it's looking at those patterns that's shifting. And I always say too, we've got to find a really simple way to be able to document, because it'd be really helpful to be a better informant for mental health professionals who end up working with these kids if it gets to that, so that we can have that observational language somewhere to help bridge that gap. So that's something, but really it's that change, that pattern change. What do you think?
Yeah, I was just thinking about other changes that we might see. I can think of students that, you know, like withdrawing from a play or withdrawing from a sport or something that they typically enjoyed, that all of a sudden they just went away from that social activity as a whole, you know, and that goes away from the baseline that, okay, you used to love this and now you're starting to escape from all these other things that you used to do. I mean, obviously that's a red flag. Maybe changes in sleep, changes in eating patterns too. Sometimes, you know, in the lunchroom, I had to do lunch duty every day, so this was a good time to connect with kids, but then also to like check in as far as like how they interacted with their peers. But then also maybe they didn't have a lunch, and this was like 3 days in a row that they're not eating during that time. And so trying to dig in, like, is there a medication change? Is there sadness or a mental health issue? Do I need to like refer you to our counselor? Is there something else going on? And so I was just trying to think through like some examples of, you know, maybe some other signs that are off from the typical baseline that we saw with our students and how they interacted with their environment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And those kiddos who come in, or adults, by the way, this is true for anybody, the sleep or appetite changes. So we would say like a sleep disturbance or an appetite disturbance. And because of those changes, again, those are body responses, body systems that get affected when we don't get enough sleep, or when we're sleeping too much, or not eating properly, or eating too much. And so all of those things can really be a problem. I mean, sometimes we're staying up too late because we're having ruminating thoughts. We might be having nightmares. We might be having flashbacks. We might be zoning out for lots of these different reasons, or there just could be some things that just reflect that internal distress that the body can't hide. The body just holds on to it and then expresses it at some point somewhere, even if you're trying hard to be strong and not let it show through.
Yeah, sometimes too, just personal hygiene for kids. Yeah. If they're wearing the same clothes every day, maybe their hair is not being kept. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could kind of see on them that might be different. And so, you know, I can think of times where I pull a kid in and start to ask some questions, and not about like their appearance, but just that was an indicator to me that something might be up. And then finding out, like, you know what, my parents are going through a nasty divorce, and I'm going back and forth between places. And honestly, I'm at my dad's place. I'm sleeping on the couch and I don't have any extra clothes, so that's why I'm wearing these. You know, and that wasn't me prompting or pulling that out of them based on telling them that they look dirty or that there's something wrong as far as their hygiene. It was like they understood that, okay, you're probably calling me in here into your office because of this, you know, and how my appearance is. And they would disclose the reasoning behind that. And so for me, then it's like, okay, now I know the problem. So now I can start helping the student in regards to that. And that might be even with, like you were talking with staff too, you know, that there might be some other neglect from personal hygiene in other areas that, you know, that we can kind of key in on to have that conversation, to dig a little bit deeper to see how we can support that person.
Yeah. In my keynote, I say that there's a story I tell about New Year's Day and how my son said, for you, mom, because we still do, we give resolutions to each other, not just make them ourselves. So my middle child said, for you, mom, I want you to smile more. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I got caught. Like I thought I was pulling it together, right? Sure. And I remember my principal had stopped me, and I actually didn't have a very good rapport with this principal, but mm-hmm. this principal stopped me and said, your face, it looks sunken. And I thought, well, I'm trying to lose weight and I'm trying to be fit and stuff, but it wasn't about that. It was my eyes were like, it was noticeable, a noticeable shift. I usually look like I had it together and well, maybe, right? But she noticed a shift and somewhere. And so I appreciated she actually noticed and then took time to talk with me about it. And she seemed genuinely concerned in a good way. So it's just funny how it does show up when we adults are trying to mask it and push mm-hmm. through. And we do, we have to adapt. We compartmentalize a lot. We are excellent at that. We're experts as educators, as compartmentalizers. And it can also take a toll on us. So it is how we look. It's funny because when you said that about the hygiene, when we talked about mental health, when I taught in high school and I taught this to teenagers about it, and that's always one of the first signs is hygiene shift, being disheveled or different things like that. And I always saw the faces of certain students and then they would look at each other if they were friends and they would come talk to me afterwards. Oh my gosh, Mrs. Peck, my friend does this or has done this. Is this an indicator? I said, go talk to the school social worker. It's a great idea to do that. And I have had clients who have psychosis and I can tell by the way their hair is and what they're wearing and whether like I can just tell because of their hygiene how much they are disassociating that day or how much more distress or how many more voices they're listening to and trying so hard to subdue them by the time they get to me. So it shows up very quickly. You're right.
Yeah. Last thing that came to mind was just also maybe like a decline in academic performance for our teachers. So, you know, if they were doing really, really well, and then you've seen another dip in something as far as their grades, maybe they're, you've talked about this, putting their head down or just not interested in the content at all. Whereas, and I've seen this even with my own child, like actually this past year, my middle child just decided the last 3 weeks, he wasn't going to do anything at school. You know, so then it was like, okay, what's going on? And having to dig into that as far as like, this is not typical behavior. We're seeing a decline. So is there something else, you know, occurring? And so then there was like a friend group that was part of the issue. And we had to be in tune with those signs to say, okay, there's obviously something underneath this behavior. So what is it? So yeah, that's the last thing that came to mind was maybe a drop in grades or maybe a lack of motivation in regards to the schoolwork.
Yeah. You'll also hear the kind of talk that they have. Sometimes they express it externally, but it's their based on their self-talk is what's the point? Like they might get something to try that you hand out to them or tell them to start. And you'll see them like not even attempt it. Like, what's the point? Or they'll actually say that out loud, or they're saying more of that. Or they're having that tone of just kind of helplessness or even hopeless behavior or just language. And it can be concerning because they're, if you look at that, it's an indicator of pain. Like that is an external expression of pain. And what we do is if we're not knowledgeable of that, then, or we're not mindful of that, I guess, make aware is we label that like, oh, they're being lazy. They're being rude. They're talking back. They're being avoidant. They're being apathetic. And I want us to just challenge ourselves. I used to do that too. Trust me. Sometimes I still get stuck doing that with my own kids. So listen, I do it too. But when we catch ourselves, that's where we can really make change and connection and help and interject ourselves into that in a very loving, concerned way.
All right. Can I throw a curveball at you?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Go.
All right. Before we wrap up the episode, I want to create a new segment. So Charlie has no idea what's going on right now. So
no, I do not.
I'm thinking a little game, if you're open to it, called Behind the Banter. And I've even got a little snippet video that I'm going to push right now, and then I'll give you the context. That was just a setup, just to give me some time to get the questions here. But each week I'm thinking, we'll throw out some fun, reflective question, and it's going to just kind of hit a pause for us and share a little bit more about us behind the mic as far as maybe a story, a misstep, something embarrassing in education. I don't know where we'll go, but if you're up to it, Charlie, I'd love to kick this off and make it a unofficial, official time that we are kind of pulling back the curtain and get to know us a little bit.
I love it. Thank you. And go for it. Bring it on.
All right. Hopefully brings a smile to your face. All right. I want you to think about your favorite teacher. You've talked about your favorite teacher before. I've heard how wonderful she was, but I want to know how your favorite teacher would react to you writing The Language of Behavior. Like, what would she think of this book?
Oh, you know, I just know Mrs. Croth. It's you. You know it's you. I saw her not too long ago. She would be proud of me, which is interesting. Because I was in her geometry class, and that's like my worst subject. I'm not kidding. Like my worst. I struggled so hard, I think, to get a C. Like struggled for a C. I may have gotten a B minus. I don't know. But she saw things in me that I did not, and I needed someone to see those things in me at that time in my life. I was desperate for that, and she saw that. But she also challenged me. So she was confident enough to do that. And so what would she say? She would say, I'm proud of you for being becoming the person I knew you were. I really think she'd say that. Oh,
I knew I'd get smile for that question.
No. What about
you? Yeah, mine was Miss Lurch. She was my art teacher, and she was the same way. I was a horrible student, and she was the only one, for the most part, that really believed there was more inside of me. And so she did push me and also gave me a lot of responsibility that I probably didn't deserve. Yeah, I think for her, just knowing that I graduated college and became a teacher, I mean, I haven't seen her. I ran into her probably like my sophomore year in college, and she was surprised about where I went to college, that I got in, that I was doing well. She was very proud. But most people in my life, Charlie, if I'm going to be honest, probably didn't expect what I have done, you know, especially the last 10 years. So yeah, I think she'd be proud. I think she'd be surprised, but I do think that she would also resonate with the content inside of it, because she really did have a heart for kids. It wasn't about punishment. It was really about like investing in them. And she just did a beautiful job. I remember witnessing that, not just with myself, but with other really, really tough students. She just had a knack for that. So yeah. Shout out to Miss Lurch.
Mrs. Croft, right. Too. Mrs. Bonnie, yes. Croft, Northern Kentucky, Florence, Kentucky. You rock.
Much love and appreciation to both of our favorite teachers. And I bet for those who are listening, you have your favorite teacher. So make sure that you, if you haven't had a chance lately, make sure that you're sending them a note, let them know how important they are. I know that they would absolutely love that. And with that, Charlie, do you have any closing words before I jump into some links for folks to go to?
Yeah, just to go back to our topic, I want you guys to think about looking at things that happen to kids that they have a big overreaction to small stressors, or adults. If they have a big overreaction that doesn't make sense to a small stressor, it's time to say, hey, what's up? I noticed this looks tougher than it might need to be or usually is for you.
All right. I've been throwing these websites up for those who are watching on YouTube, but I'm going to have them in the show notes. So make sure you're connecting with Charlie and I. ThrivingEducator.org for Charlie, joshdamper.com for myself. And if you do /language of behavior, you'll find content in regards to what we have to offer. But also I want to throw out there that we've got a lot of folks doing book studies, Charlie, for our book, The Language of Behavior, which we were just talking about. And so if you head over, you can go to connecteded.org/bulk orders. You actually get a discount. I think it's 10 or more books. You can start to get a discount for those. And then we've, of course, got the book study kit for you. So we'll make sure that link is in there. So we have a resource that is available to you to help guide you through the book. I mean, we just found out just the other day, we've got an administrator out in Arkansas that they're going to be doing a book study for The Language of Behavior. So if you're interested, this is free. You can just click the link in the show notes and get that free book study kit to help you as you're navigating probably at the beginning of the school year.
Yeah. I just want to say, when people do get that kit, not only do we have a whole facilitator guide in there, we've added worksheets, reflection questions, all the prompts you need to do it, like to run it. You don't have to do any of that. It's all there just to start it. There's even email templates to go and invite people and to remind them. It's all set up. It's there. There's posters we added. There's handouts. And we also added a feedback form that you can share with people so we can get their feedback just to see how it went. So this is truly like something, if you're going to do a book study, this has got everything in it for you.
Well, Charlie, thank you once again for hitting that milestone. We're at episode 30. I can't believe it. And we're chugging along. So thank you to everyone that's listening. Make sure you're sharing the episode out. We'd love for a rating review on Apple Podcasts or the platform that you're using to listen. And with that, we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow. And the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.